Okay, let's pick up from the Gemara in Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis. We're towards the top by the Hamorius. It's about five lines down in the Gemara. What we said in the Mishnah is that when it comes to, we're giving a list of things in the Mishnah Chof Tes that are Aser Vahana'a, that you obtain from Gaim. We talked about wine and vinegar, Cheres Hadriani, etc. So then the Mishnah went on to discuss Morias. And we said that Morias and Gvinas Besinyaki are Aser, according to Rav Meir, and they are mutter according to the Chacham. Now, when we say Aser according to Meir, mutter according to the Chacham, we said in the Mishnah that according to Meir, these things are Aser Bahana, you're not allowed to get benefit from them. And according to the Chacham, they say that there is no Iser Hana'ah. Okay, so now, says the Gemara as follows. Morias, Tanur Banu, we learn in the Brayse, Morias Uman, the Morias of an Uman, of a professional Morias maker. Remember, Morias, the way that we explained it, was this dip that they made, or this flavoring that they used to make. This simple, I'm not such an expert in the makings of fish sauces or whatever, but the basic idea seems to be that they would take either the intestines of the fish or other innards of the fish, and which were very, very fatty. And what they would do is they'd add it to some sort of pickling juice. They would add, some water and some salt, and that would be able to pull out the oils. And so in the earlier stages of using this morias, there was a higher concentration of oils. So you'd start off, you'd have, let's say, your pickling juice, you'd have your salt and your water, you'd put in some fish fat and some intestines, whatever, and that would be able to draw out the oils, and you'd be able to use this very tasty, very salty brine that was high in fish oils, and you could use that to season foods, to use it as a dip. So you kept adding the fish oils or the fish intestines until there was no more oil to be left in this, to be left to be sucked out from the fish innards. Okay, so either way though, so says the Gemara, talking about the Morias Uman Mutter, the Morias of an Uman is permitted. Now, what was the basic issue with Morias? The basic issue was that at some point, apparently, they would add wine to the Morias. Towards the later stages, the first couple of times that they would take this fish intestines and put it in this brine, in this, this water, salt concoction to draw out the fats, the oils. So the first couple of times, they were able to, extract quite a bit of oil, but towards the, after a couple of times, they were no longer able to suck out all the oils, and so they would add wine to this concoction. So Morias Uman, though, the Morias of an Uman is permitted. Why? Because an Uman doesn't put in wine, apparently. And apparently the issue, the way that Rashi understands it, is because wine ruins the dip. And that's why he's not going to put in wine. Okay. But Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Omer Rabbi Yehuda ben Gamliel, Omer Mishum Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel, Af Chilak Uman Matur. He says, even the Chilak of an Uman, even the Chilak of a professional, sauce maker, fish dealer, is permitted. The Chilak was a type of fish. We'll discuss this Bezer Shem a little bit later on in the parak. That the Chilak was a type of fish. It was a kosher fish. It was very, very small. And in its early stages of development, it didn't have fins or scales. But it was kosher. Ultimately, it would develop fins and scales. But that meant is that when it was, a little tiny fish in its younger stages of development, if it was being manufactured as food and it was mixed together with other fish, you wouldn't be able to tell the kosher fish from the non-kosher fish unless you were an expert. And apparently the experts didn't want the non-kosher fish that looked similar to chilek mixed in with the barrels that they were selling, because apparently it would ruin the chilek fish. So ab chilek uman mutter. So also the chilek of an uman is permitted. Okay, now, says the Gemara, continuing now, hu tanila v'hu amrla, pam rishon usheni mutter, shlishi aser. So he taught as follows, that when we say that Morias is a problem, that's specifically the first or second time. In other words, again, when you're taking these fish innards and you're putting them together with the pickling juice, the salt and water concoction to draw out those oils. So the first or second time, that's where there's a problem. That's where there's no issue. Shlishi asr, but the third time is a problem. And the idea over here is, again, is that because the third time, says the Gemara, my time, what's the reasoning? Pan rishon v'sheni, because the first or second time, dinafashim nayu, where there are a lot of fats, there's a lot of oils, fish oils to be sucked out from the fish, lo tzarf meri v'luchami. He doesn't need to, put in wine. But from after that point, they had to put in wine, apparently to account for the lack of fish oils in there. Maybe because there was some sort of bad odor that might have been contributed if there were no fish. You know, if there was no fish oil. Okay. Either way, they were putting in wine after they used these fish oils a few times already. Now the Gemara continues and says as follows: Hahu arva. There was a boat, the Moriasa of Morias. In other words, there was a boat that was a shipment of Morias coming, the Asina Lanamela de Akko. It was coming to the port by Akko. Osev Rav Ava de Min Akko. So Rav Ava from Akko put over there, he had set over there Nituri Bahada. He had, Nituri from Lashon Lintor is to guard, to watch. So he had people watching, he had guards put over, to supervise, to watch, to make sure that things were kosher. So Armalei Rav, or some the Bach with Bach has it, it says Armalei Rav Ava. The way that the others have it, it's Armalei Rav or Rav Ava. Either way, it says as follows: Ada Idna Manatra. Until now, who was guarding it? In other words, you're nervous all of a sudden for this Moryas, this shipment of Moryas. Now that it's at the port, apparently there was concern that they might mix in maybe oil, maybe non-kosher wine. But so the question is, okay, but up until this point, who was watching it? Who was the mashgiach on this Moryas? So Amarlei, so he said back to him, Ada idna lemai nichoshla. Well, up until this point, for what exactly should we be concerned about? If it's because they might have mixed in wine, so kista de Moryasa beluma, kista de chamra bedalalumi. We don't have to be concerned about the mixing in wine because kista de morya. So kista is a certain amount. It's a certain measurement. If you look at jastro, it seems to be similar to the zestus, which is a measurement for a measurement of volume, similar to a lug. That's what the aruch notes is, that it was similar to a lug, which is roughly something like, depending if you look at the chazanish or chaimna, somewhere around 12 ounces or 20 ounces. Around a pint. Or so. So he says a kista de Moryas, a kistas of Moryas biluma. You can buy for a luma, a zuz, roughly an equivalent of a zuz. Kista de chamra, but the very same measurement, the same amount of wine, how much does that go for? A bit dalalumi. You'd have to pay four lumi, you'd have to pay four zuz. In other words, wine is four times the price of Moryas. So there's no way that a guy is going to put some wine into this Moryas because it just costs too much money. Well, he says, well, wait a second, maybe they came by way of Tzor, this Shavi Chana, where the wine is very cheap. And maybe then if they were stopping off over by Tzor, so maybe then there is concern that they picked up some wine over there and they put some of this non-kosher wine into the Moryas because the wine is so much cheaper there. Amarlei, so he said to him, no, Hasam ikuli upshuri ika. Over there by Tzor, there are ikuli upshuri. Ikuli, Rashi tells you, is from a lashon of akalson, of going crooked. And in other words, the waters, when they go crooked, or what we would call an eddy. In other words, it's very difficult to travel over there at certain times of the year, apparently, because of all these eddies. And pshuri, from a lashon of to be melted or to be warm. So when the snow would melt, the tide was a lot higher, apparently, and it was very difficult to travel there. So there's no concern that they were traveling over there because of the ikuli pshuri, because of these eddies and the high waters. Okay, either way, what do we take up from this part of the Gemara? The Gemara is trying to figure out the issue with Moryas, and what we explain is that for Moryas of an Uman, there's no issue because they don't put in wine because the wine ruins it. When we talk about Chilak, it's a similar idea. The Chilak of an Uman is also permitted because he's going to be able to distinguish between the non-kosher fish and the Chilak itself, and he doesn't want the non-kosher fish because it's going to ruin his batch of Chilak. Now, when we talk about the Moryas, What we explain is that the first or second time, the first or second, you know, stages, when you're making this moryas, and the first time you put the fish fats together with this water, salt, brine, in order to suck out the fats, so the first or second time there's no problem, those are perfectly kosher. The third time, though, they've already started adding wine, and that's going to make it not kosher. There's a story with the port, with the boat, the shipment of Moryas, and Rabbi Abba was only concerned about them adding wine once it reached the port. There was no concern up until this point because there was no way that they could get hold of wine that was cheaper than Moryas to add to this to add to the Moryas. Okay. Says the Gemara, Ugvinas Besinaki, the cheeses of Besinaki. So this was the other part. We said that was a machlokas tanan between the mayor and the chamin. Gvin, the cheeses of Besinaki, the cheese manufactured in the town of Besinaki, according to the mayor, those cheeses are asr by now. According to the chamin, they're not asr by now. So says the Gemara is valid. Amr Bishim Malakish, Bishim Malakish said, Mipnei ma asr Gvinas in Yanki, why is it that they prohibited the cheeses manufactured in the town of Onyaki? Mibnei Sherov Agalim Shall Osa Hayir, because most of the calves of that city, Nishchat Lavaraz Kochavim, are slaughtered Lavaraz Kochavim for the purposes of Avodazara. Now, just to back up, I think we talked about this in the past, but just to clarify, again, what we noted before is that when a calf is first born, there is an unbelievable, unbelievable thing that Akash Baruch Hu puts into the Bria. And that is that normally we think of cows as they're ruminants, right? There are things that eat grass and they chew it up, and it's very, very high in fiber and requires quite a bit of a process in order to digest that fiber, right? Human beings, obviously, we can't digest fiber, but cows can. In order to do that, right, that's what we talk about chewing their cud. So they have four stomachs in order to enable that. Now, when a calf is first born, though, it's not able to digest grass, right, or fiber, or whatever. So where is it getting its nutrients from? It's sucking from its mother, right? It's nursing from the mother. Now the issue then is that imagine this. Imagine your entire diet were milk. So how is your body going to digest that? Human beings, that would probably cause, some sort of loose stool. So for calves, there's an unbelievable thing in the Bria that there is like a little canal that bypasses all the stomachs so that the milk goes straight to the last stomach of the cow, the fourth stomach, the cava, or what we would call the abomasum. And in that stomach, so how does it help anything for digestion? That stomach is the one that's most similar to a human stomach. And so what HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates in the Bria is this unbelievable thing that in order to enable the calf to digest that milk and to suck out all the nutrients from that milk, so there is an enzyme in the lining of the stomach called renin or rennet that the body secretes into the milk that's deposited in that stomach. And once it secretes that enzyme, so that rennet coagulates the milk, causing it to solidify, and now it takes a long time for the body to be able to digest it so that it can suck out all those nutrients into the body. So what that means then is that in young calves and in little calves, there's a high concentration of rennet, not only in the walls of the stomach lining, but also in the milk itself, right? There's enzyme that's been secreted into that milk that coagulates the milk. That's when it's calves. Now, when the calves get older, there's, and they start eating grass as normal grown-up cows, so there's a lot less rennet, but there is still rennet in those stomach linings that you could use in order to manufacture cheese. So, and that's what they would do. They would take the rennet from those stomach linings or from some of the coagulated milk in the calf's stomach, and they'd use that in order to coagulate milk to make cheese. So what we're saying as follows is that most of the calves in that town were slaughtered for Avodah Zarah, and therefore there's concern that the cheese that you're going to be getting from that town were made from, were manufactured by using the calves' stomachs or the calves', the milk from those stomachs, the coagulated milk from those stomachs, in order to manufacture cheese. Okay, so now says the Gemara, wait a second, but why are we discussing, what are we mentioning that there was a majority of calves in that town that were shechted for Avodah Zarah. Afilu mi'anami, even if there was a minority of calves, that also would be a problem. Why? Taharav meir chayv smiyuta, because after all, whose position are we talking about in the Mishnah? Whose position is Rish Lakish explaining the Mishnah? He's explaining the position of Rav Meir. And Rav Meir, we know, holds that he is concerned about the miyut. The minority of a group is halachically significant according to Rav Meir. In other words, like this. You know, the basis for this, Rashi always points you to the Gemara in Yibamis, where we say that in order to perform Yibam, we have to have an ish, a person who is able to have bia with this woman in order to produce a child. Now the question is, what happens if you have the brother, Reuven dies without any children, he leaves over his widowed wife, Rachel, and now Shimon is a small kid. So the question is, can Shimon, who's a katan, perform Yibam? And the answer is, according to Meir, he says, absolutely not. Why not? Because we're concerned that maybe Shimon is going to be a sris. He will not be able to have children, and therefore we don't want them to. We don't want Shimon to perform Yibam on Rachel. Now, what are the chances, though, of Shimon ending up being a sris? Very slight. There's only a very small minority of people that are sris and that are not able to have children. And so, but even so, Rav Meir is concerned about that. So therefore, you see that according to Meir, the minority is a problem. He is choshish l'miyuta. He's concerned about the minority. And therefore, why is it that Rish Lakish is saying it was because the majority of calves in that town are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah? The majority of calves are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, and that's why we have to be concerned that the cheese that you obtained from that cow, that from that town, were manufactured using the rennet of those calves, of the majority of calves. Even if there'd be a minority of calves, it would be a problem according to Rav Meir. So says the Gemara, I amrit rov. I'll tell you why. Because if you tell me that there's a rove of calves that are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, then ika miyot. Then there is a minority. Ela I amrit miyot. But if you say that there's only a minority of calves shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, kiven ika rov agalim. Since there's a majority of agalim that are not shechted l'Avodah Zarah, v'ikanami shar behemos, and there's also other animals that are not shechted for Avodah Zarah, have le miyuta de miyuta. So then you have a minority of a minority, ule miyuta de miyuta lo chayesh Rameir, and for a minority of a minority, Rameir is not concerned. What does this mean? What we're saying right now is this as follows. Remember, in this town, what we're saying is that the majority of calves were shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, and therefore the cheese that you obtain from this cow, you have to be concerned about them. Maybe the cheese was manufactured using the rennet from the calf. The problem is like this. Why is it that this majority of calves is something that's significant according to Meir? It's because this majority of calves forms a minority. It accounts for a minority. What does that mean? It means that, remember, it's not only calves that you could make manufacture cheese from. You could also manufacture cheese from grown-up animals, from the regular behemoths, as long as the regular kosher animals are what you're able to manufacture cheese from. And so those are the ones that contain this rennet that you're able to manufacture cheese from. So therefore, when you tell me that the majority of calves are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, the question is, but wait a second, there's so many other animals in the town that are not calves that you could also be using in order to manufacture cheese. How do you know? It's true that the majority of calves are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, but there are many other animals. There are cows, there are oxen, and maybe that's what you're using in order to manufacture cheese. And so therefore, what the point is that because there's such an overwhelming number of calves that are being used, that are being shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, what that means is, though, is that there's a minority of the overall animals in the town that are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, and therefore it's that minority of calves, of overall animals, that Meir is concerned about. But if you would tell me that the only that there's only a minority of calves in the town, in other words, that there are whatever number of calves are in the town total, there's only a minority of them that are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, well then of the net number of animals in the town, What number does that comprise? That's a minority of all the calves, and all the calves themselves are a minority of all the animals in the town that you could be using to coagulate milk. And therefore, that's why Rish Lakish says, let me just explain a little bit further, and therefore, that would be what we call the miyuta de miyuta. It would be a minority of the calves in the town are shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah, and then the calves themselves are a minority of the general group of behemoths in the town. And for a minority, Rameir is not concerned. And that's what we're seeing in the Gemara. Again, let's read it in. The Gemara says, let's read it in again. The Gemara says, my area Rov Agalim, why are we discussing the majority of Agalim? Why is Rish Lakish highlighting that according to Meir, there's a majority of Agalim that are Shechel Shem of Rizara, and that's why there's a problem with the cheese that you obtain from the town of Beis Inyaki. I feel a miutnami, even if there be a minority of calves, Shechel Shem of Rizara, that'd be a problem. The Rameir Chayesh Mutu, because after all, Rameir is concerned about the minority in Halacha. So says the Gemara, E Amit Rov, because if you tell me that there's a majority of calves in the town that are shechted l'shem of Rezara, then ikamiyot, then there's a minority, meaning there's a minority of the overall animals, of the general, population of animals in the town. So that means that now there's a minority of all the animals in the town that are shechted l'shem of Rezara. But if you tell me that there's only a minority of calves that are shechted l'shem of Rezara, well, kivin di'ika rov agalim, dein l'shechad l'av Rezara, since there's a majority of calves that are not shechted l'av Rezara, v'ikanami shar behemoth, and there's also all the other animals in the town, dein l'shechad l'av Rezara, that are not shechted for Avodah Zara, because apparently they would only shecht calves, young calves for Avodah Zara, have le miyuta de miyuta. So then you would have a miyut of a miyut, you would have a minority of a minority, and for a minority of a minority, Rameir is not concerned, and that would not pose a problem. Amar le Rishimim ben Yakim, le Rishimim ben Lakish, Rishimim bar al Yakim said to Rish Lakish, well, wait a second then. Ki nishchatel avodas kochavim mayave, when they are shechted for Avodah Zara, what is that? What does that make a difference in halacha if an animal was shechted le'avodah zara? V'ha'atu d'shari, but you are the one who permitted it. You're the one who holds that when you have an animal that's shechted l'shem avodah zara, that there's no problem. Where do we see such a thing? The itbar. As we know that there is a machlokas amaraim about the following issue. Hashochet as a beim lizrok dama l'avodah z'kuchavim. If a person slaughters an animal in order to sprinkle its blood for avodah zara, or he does the shechita thinking that he's going to be using the animal fats to burn to the Avodah Zara. Rav Yochanan Amar Asura, Rav Yochanan says it's prohibited because Kesarva he holds Mechashvin Me'avodah L'Avodah. We can think our Machshavos count when they are from one Avodah to another Avodah. V'yafinu Chutz Mipinim, and we learn out the rules of outside from inside. Rav Shimon Lakish Amar Mutar, so Nishlakish says it's Mutar. What's going on over here? What's going on is as follows. What they're discussing is like this. When the issue at hand is that the easiest case of making a shechita, making the animal itself usher, on account of that it was sacrificed to Avodah Zara, is if the animal was in fact sacrificed for the Avodah Zara. Now, what does it mean that an animal is sacrificed for an Avodah Zara? So there are different stages to the sacrifice. One part might be the shechita. The second part might be sprinkling the blood. Another part might be burning the fats. Another part might be burning the meat of the animal. The question is, which part of that process of killing and using the different parts of the animal were used l'shem avodah zara that make the animal asher b'hana'ah? So that is up for discussion. Let's say you have a case where you shechted the animal, and when you were shechted the animal, you weren't doing the shechita itself, the ma'aseh shechita. You were not thinking that I'm shechting this animal and I want this shechita, this ma'aseh, this act of slaughtering, I want this act of slaughtering, the killing of this animal to be l'shem this avodah zara. That's not what you're thinking. You're thinking that when you're performing the ma'aseh shechita, you are thinking that I'm shechting this animal, I need to kill this animal because I need to use the fats to offer as a sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah, or because I want to use the blood to offer to the Avodah Zarah, but not that the Maisa of Shechita itself is that you're having in mind l'shem Avodah Zarah. The question is, now what's the story? What's the story with that animal? Is the animal, when you do the Shechita, is that Shechita something that renders the animal as Aser or not? So that's Machlokesh Rav Yochanan Shlagesh. Rav Yochanan's basic argument is, well, take a look at what happens in the Beis HaMikdash when you do a similar thing. In other words, in the Beis HaMikdash, we know that you are not supposed to be, if a Kohen is performing the various avodas involved in sacrifice and involved in a korban, so he does the shechita, and then you accept the blood in a cup, you do Kabbalah, and then you take the blood and you sprinkle on the Mizbeach, you do Zrika, and then you take some of the fats and you burn them on the Mizbeach. The different parts that are involved. And we know that if a Kohen has in mind that as he's, let's say he's bringing a carbon ola for somebody, and he's supposed to be having the right kavanas, the right intentions as he's doing this sacrifice. So let's say the Kohen, what he's supposed to be doing. He's supposed to be thinking, you know, whatever the rules are that pertain to that carbon is what he's supposed to be thinking throughout. So the shechita, he's supposed to be saying, this is a shechita that I'm doing for this particular person who's bringing the carbon. I'm doing it on behalf of him. And I also, I'm having in mind that this should be a carbon ola, which is going to be entirely burnt in the, you know, in the base of Mikdash. But let's say, as he's performing the shechita, what he's thinking is, you know, he's having in mind that instead of thinking that the entire animal is going to be burned in the Mizbeach and it's going to serve as a carbon ola, and I'm having in mind for these Baalim who are bringing this animal, let's say he's thinking, as he's performing the shechita, he's thinking that, yeah, this animal, I'm performing the shechita right now, having in mind that the animal is going to be eaten for steak, you know, in Tveria. So what's the halacha then? Or let's say he's thinking that as I'm performing the Ma'aseh Shechita, he's thinking that I'm having in mind that this animal should be eaten not tonight and not tomorrow, but in a few days from now. So that's what we'd call having machshavas pigal, having machshavas that this animal is being shechted, or you're doing it having in mind that it's going to be eaten either outside of the place where it's supposed to be eaten, or you're having in mind where it's supposed to be eaten, you know, at a time that it's not supposed to be eaten. That you have a very specific amount of time for each carbon that you bring. So what's the halacha then? So normally that would qualify as pigul. The animal would be totally possible. You'd be chayv kares. Certainly if you ate it, you'd be chayv kares. The kohen himself, you know, we've got problems there. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan is saying. He's saying that, well, when it comes to kachim, we know that if you have kavana when you're performing the shechita for the wrong kavanas, and the wrong kavanas you're having pertain to later activities in the sacrifice. So when you're performing the shechita, you're not thinking about the shechita. You're just thinking that, yeah, I'm shechting the animal right now, thinking that I'm going to perform the maisa of zrika, you know, in a few days from now, or thinking that I'm going to burn the fats in a few days from now, or thinking that the meat is going to be eaten in a few days or in a wrong place. So that counts. That's a meaningful kavana. That's halachically significant, and that would be a problem. So therefore, Yochanan says, so the same thing should hold true for Avodah Zarah. If a person shechts an animal, and it's true, that for the Maisa Shechita itself, he's not thinking that the Shechita should be a sacred act of sacrifice for the Avodah Zarah. He's just thinking that the Shechita is going to be that I'm doing the Shechita right now in order so that I can burn the fats of this animal to Avodah Zarah. Yochanan said, well, that would be a problem. Just like when it comes to karbanos, that's a problem. So too when avodah zarah, that's a problem. And the way that we say that is as follows. Again, let's read it back in. Hashochet is avodah as a behema. The itmar, as we learn in the front number, hashochet is a behema. Lizrak dama lavos kuchavim. That if a person slaughters an animal, thinking that he's going to sprinkle the blood for avodah zarah, but not that the shechit itself is a sacred act. He's just thinking that I'm shechting the animal right now in order so that I can use the blood to offer it as a sacrifice to the Avodah Zarah, or lahatcha chalva lavos kuchavim. He's thinking not that the shechita itself is an act of, you know, this is not a sacred act. It's just that I want to offer the fats of the animal. I want to burn it to the Avodah Zarah. V'yochan amar asura. Rav Yochanan says it's usher. The animal is now usher. Why is it usher? Because he holds mechashvin mi'avodah lavodah. We can have kavanah. We can have machshavos from one avoda to another avoda, from one act in the performance of the sacrifice to the other. Meaning, the alfina, we also learn out chutz mipinim. We learn out the rules of outside from inside. What does that mean? Outside from inside. We learn out the rules of something that pertains to an animal that you're shechting outside in a non-sacred way. From the rules of inside, meaning inside from the karbanos that you bring inside the base of Mikdash. And so therefore, because we can learn out the rules of outside from inside, the rules of the base of Mikdash of karbanos apply to other animals that are not involved in the karbanos. And also we clearly know that you can have karbanos, that the karbanos that you have during one act regarding another act are meaningful in the halacha. So that's why this Ma'aseh Shechita is going to render the animal as aser. Rish Lakish says it's mutar. So now, if that's the case, this is why Rishon Bar Yochum has a problem with Rish Lakish. Because Rish Lakish just got finished saying that what's the issue with the cheeses from Beis Yaki, according to Meir, the issue is that the cheeses might have been manufactured from the rennet of calves that have been shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah. So he says, well, wait a second, what's the big deal if the calf was shechted l'shem Avodah Zarah? What's the big deal there? Even if you did have such a thing in mind, you just were thinking that you would shech the animal in order to do it to offer other parts of the animal the shame of a Rezara. And so presumably, according to Rish Lakish, then when he's explaining Rav Meir, and he's saying, why is it that the cheeses are basically not here usher because they shechted because the majority of calves of that city are shechted l'avodah zarah, presumably what we're talking about is that it's shechted not that the Maizah Shechitah is l'avodah zarah, but that they're shechting the animals for the purpose of using the fats or the parts of the animal for avodah zarah. And if that's the case, why is it that the calves should be usher bana? Why is it that the calves and the rennet that's extracted from the calves should be a problem? So Amrlei, so he says back to Rish Lakish, says back to Rav Shimon bar Eliakim, Tarminach Shaitach, your mazel should be raised up. And you know, some understand that this is a praise, some understand that this is like a, you know, he's either giving him a high five and he's saying, wow, that's a really good question, or he's saying that actually no, you better luck next time. And so what's his response? He says, but Omer b'gmaris v'icha hu ovda. It's because the case is where he's saying that upon the completion of the zvicha, upon the completion of the shechita, is how he is serving the avodah zarah. In other words, he is thinking the shechita itself, the ma'aseh shechita itself, is l'shem avodah zarah in this case. Your assumption was incorrect. The assumption was that when you're shechting the calves l'shem avodah zarah, you're not doing the ma'aseh shechita as an act, as a sacred act. You're doing it in order to use the fats or the blood to offer the avodah zarah. That's incorrect. That's not true. It's that the person, when he, the goyim in this town of Beis Yaki, the issue is that they would perform the ma'aseh shechita, having in mind that the shechita itself, the completing act of this slaughter, of the slaughtering, should be l'shem avodah zarah, should itself be an act, a sacred act of worshiping avodah zarah, and therefore that's why there's an issur over here. Okay, and that's why it's asher b'na, and that's why the cheese is made from those cheese, from those rennets would be a problem. Okay, one more piece. Rabbi Yudashal Rabbi Shmuel. Now if you remember, this was the part in the Gemara on the Mishnah Chavtes, where we had this interesting conversation between Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda is recording the conversation that happens between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Shmuel asks Rabbi Yeshua when they're walking on the road, what's the story? Why is it that the cheeses in general from Gayim are usher? And the way the Rashi explained that, of course, was that according to the Chachamim, why is it they would say that you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to eat cheese? It's prohibited to eat, but it's not usher bahana. And so what he explained was is that they use the keva, this coagulated milk inside the calf's stomach. They would use the coagulated milk of a nevela, of an animal that wasn't shechted properly. So the response was, well, wait a second, what does that make a difference? The keva of an ola, the keva of a carbon ola, is you would expect that a carbon ola is entirely asher b'hana, and we know that the coagulated milk from an ola is perfectly fine for consumption. We say that a kohen who's a little bit more chilled out is allowed to eat. He's allowed to consume that milk, that coagulated milk. And so the response was, no, you're right. It's really because they use the coagulated milk, the keva, the rennet, from the egle avodah zarah, from calves that are offered for avodah zarah. So then he said, okay, but then why shouldn't they be asher b'na? They should be asher b'na, not just asher b'achila. So then he changes the topic. So it says the Gemara as follows. Amar v'achadvai, amar rav. Rav Achadvai said, from rav, hamakadish v'peresh shor. If a person performs kedushin, he's makadish a girl, using the peresh of a shor. Peresh is the excrement or the waste of the ox. But not just any ox. It's a makadish v'peresh shor haniska. He uses the waste of an ox that's meant to be stoned. Now, what that means is as follows. So as we've discussed in the past, if Reuven's shor gores and kills Shimon, so if we have two witnesses, at the scene, and they come and testify in Bezdin that Reuven's shor killed Shimon, so we know that that shor has to be put to death. A little bit of a discussion in the Mishnah Bava Kama, if it's a short time, if it's a short muad, in terms of the penalty of kofar. But either way, the animal has to be put to death. How do we kill the animal? We kill it by performing skila. So once Bezin, according to most Rishonim, once Bezin reaches a verdict that this is a gemar din, that this animal is going to have to be stoned, the animal is asher b'na. You're not allowed to get any benefit from the animal. So the question is, well, what about if you used some of the waste of that animal in order to perform kedushin? Now, normally, in order to perform kedushin, in order to to be mekadesh a girl, to make the bond of kiddushin, which is the initial stages of marriage, is not an engagement. It's that a man is married to the girl now by means of kiddushin, right? That if they want to, after kiddushin is done, if they want to no longer be together, he'd have to give her a get. So in order to effect a kiddushin, you need through money. You can do it either through kesef, shtar, or bia. If you're going to use kesef, if you're going to use a certain amount of money, it has to be worth a shava pruta. A pruta is worth the money. So now, let's say he uses the peresh of a shor haniskal in order to perform kiddushin. Is it a meaningful kiddushin? Is it a valid kiddushin? This says Rav Mekudeshes. It is a valid kiddushin. But peresh ekle avodas kochavim. But if he uses the excrement, the waste that he obtained from Egle avodas kochavim, from calves, you know, that were devoted, that were shechted l'shem avodas zarah, so then in a mekudeshes, it's not a valid kiddushin. And the question is why? Both the Shor HaNiskal and the Egle Avodas Kochavim are things that are Asur B'Hanah. So why is it, and things that are Asur B'Hanah in a halacha have a value of zero, so then why is it then that the waste that I get out of a Shor HaNiskal is going to be considered valuable in a halacha? It does have, you know, monetary significance in a halacha, and therefore it can affect the Kedushin, as opposed to the parish of an Egle Avodas Kochavim that does not have monetary significance, and therefore does not affect a kiddushin. So the e by same svara, I could tell you either that there's a good, you know, svara, good logic for this, or alternatively I could tell you that there's psukim that back this up. E by same svara, I could tell you in the terms of logic, I could tell you svara, gabi egla avodas chavim. When it comes to the calves of avodah zarah, nichalei ben nafche, he's very happy about its nafche, nafach like a lashana of to blow up. To expand, like a napach is a blacksmith, neficha is the blowing, so nafche, it's bloatedness. In other words, he's very happy that the calf is bloated, is full, looks wholesome. And so therefore what? And therefore, even the perish inside of that animal's body, he's very happy that that perish is there, and he's very happy that it's part of the animal, and therefore it has a status of Isra Hana. It's considered to be part of the animal with respect to the status of Avodah Zarah, and therefore the perish obtained from an egel, from an egle avodah zarah, has a status of isra hanah, and therefore, what's its value? Its value is zero in halacha. And therefore, if you use that waste in order to perform kedushin, it's not meaningful. It's not halachically binding. But aval gavi shor haniskal, but the shor haniskal's waste lo nichle v'nafchle. He doesn't care about the bloatedness of the shor, and therefore, there's no isra hanah conferred upon that waste inside of the animal. And therefore, it does not have a status of Isra Hanah. It's not considered to be part of the animal. It's not considered to be part of the Shor HaNiskal. And therefore, it's not going to, you know, have a value in halacha of zero. And therefore, if you use it to do kedushin, the kedushin would be binding. Ibai, same alternatively, I could tell you cry. I could tell you psukim. How do the psukim indicate that there's a difference between the parish of Shor HaNiskal versus the parish of Egle Avodas Kochavim? So as follows, Ksiv HaKha writes over here, Lo Yidbak Piyaduchah Ma'uma, right by the Eren, Nidachas, the city that's you know, overwhelmed, that the majority of the city worships Avodah Zarah, so you have to burn down the whole city, and all the items inside of the city are Asur Ma'ana. So it says, Lo Yidbak Piyaduchah Ma'uma, nothing, absolutely nothing of Avodah Zarah should be clung in your hand, should be literally from like a Lashon L'dabek, to stick, to cling to. You shouldn't have anything left. And therefore, even peresh that's obtained from Avodah Zarah, that's a problem. But Uksiv Hasim over there writes, Sakol Yitzakel Hashor V'lo Yechalas Bisero. What does the pasuk say about the rules, the halachas of Shor HaNiskal? It says you have to stone the ox V'lo Yechalas Bisero, and then its flesh should not be eaten. What is the pasuk telling you? Telling you specifically the flesh should not be eaten. Bisero Aser. It's specifically the flesh, the animal that's aser ha pirsho, but it's perish, the waste that you might take from the animal mutaris. That is permitted. That's not going to be aser b'hanah. Okay, so we have svar to back up the chiluk that Rav makes between perish of Shor HaNiskal and perish of Egle Avodas Kochavim, and we also have psukim. Amar Rava. Rava says tarvayu tanan. In fact, both of these ideas can be found in the Mishnayos. How do you see it from the Mishnayos? Midukah Amrali, from the fact that he said to him, Mipneishim Amidim Bekevas Nevela. Remember, going back to the conversation that we had between Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yishmael, what does Rabbi Yeshua originally respond to Rabbi Yishmael for why it is that the Gevinas of Ovdei Kochavim are Asur B'Hanah? He says because they use the Keva of Nevela in order to coagulate the milk to make cheese. So Mibnei Shemamita Bekevus Nevel. The Kamahagale, and what did he respond to him? What did Rabbi Shmuel say back to Rabbi Yeshua? Valo Kevas Ola Chamura Mekevas Nevela. But isn't the Keva of an Ola more stringent than the Keva of a Nevela? And therefore, just like Keva of an Ola is, an Ola itself is Asher Barna, but still the Keva is fine. So that when it comes to the Keva of a Nevela, that should also be fine. So what do you see though? Michlal the Isra Hana Shar Bashar. So what do you see from there? You see that implies that the Isra Hana, when you have something that's Asher Barna, the Pirsha, the waste, the thing that's released from the animal, is permitted. And so you see that just like an Ola, which is Asher B'Ana, the stuff that comes out of the Ola, the perish of the Ola, is not Asher B'Ana. So too for Shor HaNiskal, something that comes out of an Isra HaNa, something that is Asher B'Ana, should also be fine. Okay, now, Umidaka Amrele, but then when he responds to him, he says, no, Mipnei Shema Midinosa, Bekevus Eglevus Kochavim, he says, it's because they coagulated, they use the rennet of Eglevus Kochavim in order to make the cheese. And then he responds to him, well, Imkin, if that's true, Lama lo Asher B'Ana, why didn't they prohibit it? B'Ana shouldn't only be Asher B'Achila. What do you see? Mechlal, the Avodas Kochavim, Asher B'Shav. You see that the Avodas Kochavim is Asher, when we're dealing with Avodah Zarah, the Pirsha of Avodah Zarah is Asher B'Ana. So again, so you see very clearly from the Mishnah itself, this distinction. That when it comes to the Pirsha of something that's generally Asher B'Ana, like an Ola, or like a Shari Niskal, that should be Mutter. That should be mutter bahna. But when it comes to the pirsha of avodas kochavim, so there you have something that's aser bahna. Okay, now says the Gemara, wait a second. Why didn't you respond to him? Mishum delay salis rabbeinu. Why didn't you say to him that the reason that there's no iser hana is that there's no, in other words, that there's an, remember, at the end of the day, where are we left off with? We're left off at the end of the conversation that they use the keva of Avodah Zarah to make this cheese. And so he says back to him, well, a second, if they're using the keva of Avodah Zarah in order to make the cheese, then the cheese shouldn't only be Aser Ba'achila, it should also be Aser Rana. So why doesn't he say back to him? Why doesn't Rabbi Yeshua say back to Rabbi Shmuel, I'll tell you why it's not Aser Rana. The latter, why doesn't he respond to Mishum Deleis Elisir Be'enik? Because the Isser is not Be'en, it's not out in the open, it's not perceivable. And when you have Isser that's not Be'en, that's not out in the open, it's mixed into something else and you can't put your finger on it, so that's why it's not Asher B'Ana. The Hamorius, after all, when it comes to Morius, the Rabbana, when it comes to, according to the Chum, the Lo Asher B'Ana, they didn't prohibit it. B'Ana, they didn't say it's Asher B'Ana. Why not? My time, what's the reasoning? La Mishum, is it not because the Leisel Isser B'Ene? Because the issue is not Ben. Remember, Morius, the issue was that they might be mixing wine in. But again, why isn't it Asher B'Ana according to the Chumim? Because the wine is not Be'en, it's not out in the open, it's not visible. But when you do, if it would be visible, then there would be a problem. But again, the same thing for the Keva. If you're using cheese to coagulate, if you're using the rennet of Ovdei of Egle Avodah Zarah in order to make this cheese, so then the enzyme is not, it's not nicker, it's not Be'en, it's not visible. So maybe that's why it's not Asher B'Ana. So it says, Gemara, Amri, I'll tell you why you can't say that. Hacha, over here, kivin de ukme kamukim, chashav le kaman de ise. Because it's ukme kamukim, because it's being used to, literally, I mean, to stand up, to set up this cheese. In other words, because the enzyme, the rennet, is being used to solidify the cheese, so it's chashav le kaman de ise. It's considered like it is there. Kaman de ise le yisra ben. It's considered like the yisra is ben. It's like out in the open. In other words, because there's an enzyme that's causing every molecule of this cheese, that the only way that it's able to stand is because it has this agent in it that solidifies it. So it's staring you in the face. You can't say that it's not there. The fact that the cheese is solidified, that the milk is solidified, and what you're looking at is cheese, that's because there's an agent in there that causes it to solidify. So you can't ignore that. You can't just say, oh, well, because I can't pinpoint the exact molecule of enzyme, that it's staring at you in the face. Okay, so what are we going to take out from this Gemara? Just to summarize very briefly, the first part of the discussion was a discussion about Morius, the Morius of an Uman, the Chilak of an Uman. We explained that when it comes to Morius, the first or second time where you put this, the fish intestines, the fish innards, together with the salty water, brine, so then that's where there's no problem. But the third time, they're already adding wine. We talked about the Morius by the port of Akko, that there was no concern that they added wine because any wine that they could actually get their hands on would be much more expensive. There's no concern that they'd stop off by Tzor because it was very difficult to get to Tzor. We talked about the cheeses of Beis Yaki. We explained that Rish Lakish's idea that the cheeses were usher because the majority of calves in the town were shechted l'shem avodah zarah. And we explained that if there's a majority of calves in the town, that ultimately is a minority of the general population of animals. And therefore, because we're dealing with the mayor, that's going to be an issue. What about the shechita of the calves? What are they doing when they're shechting the calves l'avodah zarah? Presumably, it's in order to use the blood or the fat for avodah zarah. So what's the issue? What's the issue with the ma'aser shechita itself? And so we explained this. No. There's shechita itself that they do to the calves. They are having kavana to have a sacred act of shechita l'shem avodah zarah. And so that's why the calves themselves are asur b'ana. And you now use there would be issue with the cheeses made from the rennet extracted from those calves. Then we discussed the difference that Rav is b'chiddush, that there's a difference between the parish obtained from Ashur and Iskal and the parish obtained from the Egle avodah zarah. The parish of Ashur and Iskal is not Asur Bahana because you don't care about the animal being bloated, and so therefore it's not part of the animal. There's no Isra Hana status on the parish of the animal, as opposed to the parish of the Egle Avodah Zarah. The owner is very happy that the animal looks plump and bloated as a sacrifice to Avodah Zarah, and so therefore it does have a status of Isra Hana. We support this idea with Psukim and with Svara. Rava ultimately shows you how in the Mishnah itself, on Chavtas, you see this point, that there is a difference between the parish obtained from general Isra Hana, from things like Ola and Shor HaNiskal, as opposed to the parish obtained from Avodah Zarah. But ultimately, we end off with a question. We have a question, why is it that Rabbi Yeshua couldn't respond to Rabbi Shmuel, that the reason that there is Isra Hana status on the parish, on the coagulating agent, on the rennet obtained from Egle Avodah Zarah, is that it's not be'en. And when Isra Hana is not be'en, so it's not going to be, we're not going to say that it's Asur B'ana. The answer is that no, as far as we're concerned, it is be'en because it's staring in the face. When you look at the cheese, the solidified milk, the only reason it's solidified is because of that enzyme. Okay, let's hold here.